Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm sure all the viewers will agree with me that one of the biggest problems we face in the world at the moment is a problem with intoxicants, a problem with the world of alcohol, a problem with narcotics, a problem with the world of drugs. 100 years ago, you could go to many countries in the world and there would be a clear prohibition when it came to drugs and when it came to alcohol. But now we live in a time where countries have begun to reevaluate in the name of freedom. And that's why this whole idea of it's important to give everybody freedom, who sets the boundaries for freedom? Because now when you look, for example, in Canada, or you look in America, or you look in Portugal, or you look in Uruguay, and you look even within certain Muslim countries, there are major questions about the amount of alcohol abuse and drug abuse that can be seen within the general population. 100 years ago, there would be prohibitions. Of course, money plays a major role when we're looking at the world of alcohol and drugs. Because at the end of the day, if you own a restaurant, for example, that's not serving alcohol, and you already maybe have to pay more money for halal meat, you always have to think about your profits in relation to your rent. Your profits in relation to how the business is growing. Whereas with alcohol, you have certain business owners who will tell you that they're getting a 300%, 400% markup when alcohol is there. The human being is so addicted to alcohol that in some cases, when the COVID-19 hit us, one of the main concerns was, how am I going to get myself back in the pub? For some people, of course, that's more of a social element. But for some cultures, there is no social element without a drink. In the workplace, Muslims have had to adapt because they've seen that if they want to get promoted, how am I going to get promoted if I'm not part of that drinking culture? There are many who've been promoted because they're a good laugh in the pub. But when you're not a good laugh in the pub, how exactly do you get promoted? And not everybody necessarily has that same iman. There are some people who will give in and say, listen, bro, I'm not going to drink, but I don't mind if there's drink all over the table. And then there's others who are like, well, bro, listen, even if I have one drink, the Quran doesn't categorically say that alcohol is haram. Because, you know, there are some Muslim countries in the world where Muslims are renowned for how much they drink. A person only has to go to Pakistan, and you see that Pakistan sees itself as trying to apply quite a bit of Islamic law. But Pakistanis can drink. If you look, for example, at Arabs, many of them don't mind the weekend trip to Bahrain because you can have a good drink there. And so don't be surprised if you see a lot of Saudi Arabians on a Thursday night, for example, going across the Jack Daniels Bridge to make sure that they have a good time. Because in Saudi Arabia, you're not going to get that. And so when a person tries to pinpoint the fact that alcohol is a British problem or European problem or an American problem, the reality is that alcohol is something that can be an addiction to any human being. And so likewise, when we're looking at the problem of alcohol, some will say, yeah, but there's certain Muslim countries you'll never see alcohol. I may not see a lot of it in Iraq, but there's certainly bars in certain places. Someone might not see it being sold in Iran, but you know when you want to hold a good party in North Tehran, you're able to get anything you want. And so likewise, when we're looking at intoxicants like alcohol, the main problem that Muslims have is they're like, well, is there any ayah that ever said that al-khamr haram? You know, we all want those clear ayahs, don't we? Al-musiqa haram, al-khamr haram. And if we get those verses, does that mean we'll stop? Not necessarily. A verse can tell you, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and you still don't pray. So it's not necessary. But for some people, their main argument has always been that if there was a verse that spoke about, for example, alcohol being problematic, then I might take it more into consideration, especially if there's a prohibition. But what saddens me more than anything is when I see the rise of drugs in the Muslim community. You know, I've always felt that alcohol wasn't that problematic, although I know that there are still parts of the Muslim community, I mean within our own community of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, I always used to find it hard to imagine that someone who hears about Yazid and the ways of Yazid and the drunkenness of Yazid would ever be someone who'd follow Yazid's path. Because we always say to ourselves, would you have been with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or would you have been with Yazid if you were there in Karbala? And many of us would like to think, ya laytana kunna ma'akum, we would have been with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And then you have some people, would you believe, who are Shi'at Ali. And that's why this idea that just because we call ourselves Shia means that we are the real Shia. There are certain people who are Shi'at Ali who are known for how much they drink. But I never thought it'd get to weed, marijuana, and the world of cannabis. And now I see that we have youth who stand outside a majlis, all having a good smoke. And then they come in and they start actually commemorating Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Since when did Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam have anything to do with that lifestyle? Would you believe there are certain people who even recite poetry in honor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or even beat their chests in honor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, who are known to love the odd talk of marijuana, of weed, of whatever we want to call it in the world of cannabis? There are some people, let's not even put them near majalis, just sit with their friends and chill, and they're all doing it. And they're sons of renowned families, where their fathers, who have been exemplary figures for years, with their characters now, you find that this is far away from what was being taught. And for some, it's a major trial, because every time they try and leave these addictions, they find it difficult. And then they hear the media telling them, for example, alcohol is good for your heart. You hear someone telling you drugs, medically, every drug is okay if it's medicine. And so when you hear these things, you begin to think to yourself, well, how do we solve this issue? Does the Quran actually mention these things? And we know that the Quran would have to mention such things, because we know on the first level that when Islam comes to the Arabs, if they were really jahil, then these are the symbols and the symptoms of jahil. Do you agree? Yeah, and if you want to see ignorance, and you want to see people who, unfortunately, in some cases, shaitan affects them, then would you agree with me that these would be the symbols of the effect? Clearly, in Arabia, there were people who were drinking. The Arabs used to love the drink. And I'm not just going to say it's in Arabia only. Listen, you could go centuries after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi lived, and after the Imams lived, and you could see, for example, I don't know, Sufis, like the Qalandar Sufis, would love a drink and would love a good bit of a smoke. And we find that if you go, for example, to Iran, you'll see that there's opium, there's hashish. And you do sometimes try and look in the traditions. Would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi ever mention things like, for example, drugs? And there are these traditions. I don't know how reliable they are. They're open to question. There will come a time when you'll see people who'll consume a substance called banj. They avoid me and I avoid them. And he said, and in another tradition about saluting the Jews and the Christians, but avoiding those who smoke a substance called banj. Now, what is that banj? What does it do to you? And so you find that when we're looking at this world, we're looking at a world of these things which intoxicate you. And so when we're looking at the Quran, we're trying to have an understanding of these intoxicants and their effects on the community. How do these intoxicants affect? How did they get prohibited? Because if someone today asks me, show me alcohol in the Quran, show me drugs in the Quran, what do I do? And there are others who might turn around to you and say, listen, bro, it's grapes, it's apples, it's plants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, grapes are good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these apples, fruit and veg. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created plants. What's wrong? The problem isn't the grape or the plant. Some might go as far as saying that the grape and the plant is not something which is najis, but it's what you do with it. If you look in the Quran in Surah 16, verse 67, my dear brothers and sisters at home, in Surah 16, verse 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us about the world of fruits, but how I can take a fruit and direct its usage in that which is positive or that which is Negative. I can direct the usage of a fruit to make something good for the human being or to make something that destroys the human being. Today, when I go into some of these fruit juice places, some of the stuff they're doing is unreal. You can walk out with a shake where you've got dates mixed with avocado, mixed with honey. You know, the best things, one may argue, for energy and for stamina and for strength. But likewise, that same person can say to me, listen, on top of this, I can slip you something that can intoxicate. In Surah 16, verse 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us exactly this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. What does the Quran say? Of the fruits of the what? النخل. What is النخل? Or النخيل? The date palms. We agree? وَالْأَعْنَابِ and the grapes. What can you do with them? You can make either things which intoxicate or things which prove to be a sustenance for you. Who were the grape by itself, the apple by itself, the nakhla by itself, the plant by itself? These are not things which I'm going to look at and say these are haram. Even when I look at the pig, أَجَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ, or the dog, the pig and the dog are wonderful creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're the ones who can direct their usage to protecting my house, in the case of the dog, or to coming and licking my face. But the dog in itself, yes, the dog might go towards the world of najasa when it comes to fiqh. But when we're looking at the date palm, or I'm looking at inab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ, of the fruits of date palms and of the grapes, تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا. Sakran. شِفْتَ هَذَا السَّكْرَان, we say in Arabic. Did you see that? Drunk person. Isn't that true? Sakran, sakara, intoxication. A person can use grapes to result in making humans intoxicated. I can go to a town where in the fruit and veg market in the morning I see grapes for sale. In the evening, I can walk past town at midnight and see people where grapes and other substances mixed with these, whatever's been fermented, how many years it's been out, can actually intoxicate a human being, where that human being can get up to all sorts and destroy people's lives. As in, would you all agree with me, how many deaths in the roads are caused because of drink driving? That same human being 6 hours earlier at work is looking at you in a job interview and asking you about your ethics in the workplace. 6 hours later, because he's now out of work and had a good time, that has intoxicated him and he's killed someone in your community. Does that family recover? The domino effect is what destroys. The Quran said that from something like inab, you can have that, تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا, you can have that which intoxicates. And mind you, grape and mint, being my favorite shisha flavor, doesn't intoxicate. Let me be very clear about that and make that a disclaimer. تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا. Or you could be someone who could use grapes to make grape juice. What else can you use grapes for? To make which other things? There are many things a person can use grapes for. For example, jam. There you go, Ma'ash, our resident jam connoisseur. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. This is a sign for people who understand. You look at anyone in the world, if they use their rationality, they'll come to a conclusion that these things which have been given to me as a sign from God for my sustenance, why am I using them to destroy people's lives? Why? As in, how many adverts do we grow up in? We grew up seeing adverts, don't drink and drive. Drinking not good for you. Don't drink when you're pregnant. But why are you then allowing this poison to be in society? I know that there are many people who will watch this, who may be non-Muslims. And they may turn around and they might say, for example, that look, for us, it's something that we find giving us pleasure. Islamic law didn't concern itself with the individual. It concerned itself with the whole. Do you agree with me that the presence of that which intoxicates has more negative effects than it does have positive? Ah. So therefore, did the companions used to drink? Yes. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to love the drink before they came towards the religion of Islam. Did some of them used to drink when they became Muslim? Yes. There were some who used to drink as well when they became Muslim. What's the proof of this? The proof can be seen in one of the first verses that makes it clear that intoxication means you can never come near, or you should never come near salah while intoxicated. Go to Surah 4 of the Quran, Surah 4, verse number 43 of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters at home. In Surah 4, verse number 43 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to provide a guidance to the nascent Muslim community in its formative period by saying to us that there are some of them who still drink alcohol before they begin what? Before they begin their salah. Because there are two types of meanings possibly to this ayah in Surah 4 verse number 43 of the Quran. Surah 4 verse 43 of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, there are two meanings to this ayah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. O you who believe, do not approach salah while you are in the state of intoxication. O you who believe, Surah 4 verse 43, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who claim to have belief, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Do not approach salah while you are intoxicated, حَتَّى تَعْلَمُ مَا تَقُولُونَ, and so until you know what you have said. This ayah, what does it show me? It shows me on the first level that there were people who were Muslims in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who approached salah while they were intoxicated. So when the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ, it's referring to the mu'mineen, isn't it? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمنوا, O you who claim to have believed. It's not saying يا أيها الناس, يا أيها الكفار, يا أيها المنافقين. It's saying, O you who claim to have إيمان, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Do not approach salah while you are intoxicated. Some ulama said, what does this mean? Some ulama said this verse meant that if you're drunk, don't go near the mosque. It's not that they would go and pray drunk. It's that they may have been drunk, and if you're drunk, you shouldn't go and enter the mosque. Most of the ulama say that no. There were companions who had a bit of a drink, and then they went towards what? They went towards salah, intoxicated. And so therefore, the Quran came and said at the beginning, and if you've noticed in my tafasir in the last few weeks, I've shown how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't expect you in one day to completely become religious. You know, sometimes you look at somebody and you expect them that in one day they're going to stop drinking alcohol. In one day they're just going to wear hijab. People develop at different times. Yes, there are certain people who, mashallah, they can do a 180. There are others who do a 179. There are others who do a 65. By the way, have you ever heard this in our community? Someone says, bro, this guy done a 360. 360 doesn't make any sense because that just means that he just came back to exactly the same place he is. True? Bro, the guy done a? What did he do? A 360. I said, what do you mean he done a 360? He got completely changed. I'm like, but bro, 360 means that he's just the same guy. What it should be is that the guy done a 180. 180, what does a person doing a 180 mean? It means that this person going from, they're in the, for example, east, they've gone west. East, they were the soldier of shaitan. Now they're the soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Listen, I might have a friend of mine in the community who does this. In Muharram, they don't drink. And in Shahr Ramadan, well, they probably can't drink. But in Muharram, they don't drink. You say, bro, why don't you drink in Muharram? He goes, bro, respect for Imam Hussein. And so, firstly, how about God? And secondly, how about the other 355 days of the year? Did God just go to sleep the other 355? And just in Muharram, he woke up. Because there are people who are like, bro, you know what? I listen to music the whole year except Muharram. First 10 nights, we don't listen to music. Why do you need to go from one extreme to another? Just relax. Religion doesn't tell you go one extreme to another. Firstly, if it's vulgar music you're listening to, full of rudeness and so on and so forth, then you shouldn't be listening to it the whole year anyway. Yes, you're saying I'm doing it out of respect for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. No. Firstly, do it out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, Muharram isn't a period. Some families went too extreme with their children in Muharram and Safar. No TV for 2 months and 8 days. Why? I want to watch football. Football's not haram. I want to watch news. News not haram. No, but it's Muharram, Safar, Rabi al-Awwal. Okay, you want to empathize with Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah, it's good on you. But don't make it a law. It's not a law. I know people who got so morally great from these things. I know people who completely left religion because they're like for 2 months and 8 days. And you know what they make them do? They make their daughters in those 2 months and 8 days watch, for example, TV. And if there's a majlis, they put on hijab. Why are you putting on hijab when there's a majlis on TV? If you're going to go outside of the house and you're going to take off the hijab. So what was the point of the hijab when there's a majlis? But once again, what God tries to do is He tries to also tell us that try and understand people's development with these things differs. Some of these companions, as soon as this verse is revealed, for example, some of them have already left alcohol out of respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, or others because you don't need God to tell you that alcohol is not good for you. You know, I don't need God in my life, really, to tell me that alcohol is not good for me. What God helps me with is making sure that I observe that I don't drink. Otherwise, there are many human beings who don't believe in God but may stay away from alcohol. So, for example, if I look at Liverpool Football Club, honestly, I see, for example, James Milner. James Milner's never drunk in his life. And he's the vice captain of Liverpool Football Club. And you know, when it comes to celebrations, okay, if Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah don't drink, okay. But James Milner, Yorkshire lad, why would he be having a drink? Because he doesn't need to follow Islam for him to realize that this may affect stamina, health, heart, artery, kidneys, liver, etc., etc. Someone says, you know what, Sayyidina, I got to tell you, I drank last week, so I'm not praying for 40 days. I said, why? He said, because they say if you drink, you can't pray for 40 days. I said, which nonsense said that? He said, oh, I've always heard that you can't pray for 40 days if you've drunk. Salah can never stop. This ayah doesn't say, oh, you who believe, because you're drunk, you can't pray for 40 days. It just says that do not approach salah in a state of intoxication. Because then you're not going to know what you're saying. Before you know it, you're like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, min sharr al-waswas al-khannas. Now, some people will laugh, but by the way, this happened. This happened. Uthman bin Affan, the third Khalifa, had a governor in Kufa called Walid bin Uqba. Walid bin Uqba, the Quran had revealed an ayah which I discussed a couple of sessions ago. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. Oh, you who believe, when a transgressor or evil person or sinner comes to you with news, verify that news. The Quran revealed an ayah about him being a fasiq. We agree? Imam al-Hassan told Walid bin Uqba one day, he said to him, every ayah on Iman is referring to my father. Every ayah on Fisq is referring to you. You, Walid bin Uqba, every ayah about Fisq and Fusuq, about being a sinner, is about you. And every ayah on Iman is about my father. This guy becomes governor of Kufa. Do you know what governor of Kufa means? That's like one of the most sacred, huge positions. Uthman bin Affan's maternal relative. You see, when people say to me, why do the Shia have a problem with, for example, Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman? What is the problem? Why do you guys not follow them or view them the way, for example, the Sunni school does? We say because for us, there are certain decisions that are made that are unjust. Of those decisions, for example, Abu Bakr angering Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. For us, that's a red line. For you, listen, whatever you want to believe, you can believe. I'm not going to get in your way. For me, Umar appointing Muawiyah to be governor of Sham, Muawiyah? Really? يعني the طلقاء become governors of Sham? But for you, that might be something acceptable. For me, Uthman putting a man who the Quran has called a fasiq as governor of a Muslim territory. When I, as a Shi'i, have a difference with these things, it's also because my Imam lashed this man because of his drunkenness in Salah. In Salah, this guy prayed Fajr, which is how many Ruk'ah, my dear brothers and sisters at home? Fajr is a 2 Ruk'ah Salah. Can we just repeat that again? Fajr is how many Ruk'ah?
2.
If you pray Fajr 4 Ruk'ah, you must be drunk. Because half of us at 1.5 Ruk'ah are trying to jump back in bed. Me at Fajr, listen, I can sit here, Mawlana, Sayyid, whatever, this, that. Fajr, there are times half my eyes are closed. This guy's gone to 4 Ruk'ahs. You got to be drunk. Quran said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Don't approach salah while you are intoxicated. And you know, intoxication can affect you in this haram way. Of course, on the Day of Judgment, there'll be people who will be, you know, they are proper. They feel intoxicated because of what they see. But here, this intoxication that we talk about is that Islam wanted you to go to salah pure, away from these najis things, away from that which is impure, away from that which will make you suddenly jump surahs, and so on and so forth. The next ayah was in Surah Al-Baqarah. In Surah 2, verse 219, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear for us even further. But this time, God went into a bit more of a description about why intoxicants are a problem. Now, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you concerning khamr. What's khamr? Khamr? What did we say the word for head covering was in Islam? What is the word when a lady covers her head? What's the word when a lady covers her head? When a lady covers her head, a Muslim lady covers her head, what's the word? Well, if it's hijab, it's going to have nothing to do with my ayah. I need you to help me with my ayah. As it doesn't say, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْحِجَابِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ. It says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ. What is the word for head covering? Your sister covers her head. Your sister covers her head. Your mother covers her head. What's the word for head covering? Well, if the word for head covering is khamor, that means my mom's drunk. So what's the word for head covering? If you ask many Muslims, what's the word for when a lady covers her head, say hijab, but that doesn't help me in this ayah. It says, yes, alunaka anil khamri wal maysari. Doesn't say anything about hijab. So why am I using this example? And that's why many Muslims, when they ask, show me hijab in the Quran, they can't. Because there is no verse about covering your head called hijab. The word for covering one's head is khimar. Hence the ayah in the Quran said, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرُهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ. And let them strike their veils over their bosoms. So here, when the Quran says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about khamr. Khamr is that which covers one's head, covers one's reasoning, covers one's rationality, covers one's senses. Most of us know khamr as alcohol, true? But any intoxicant that causes you to be stoned, out of it, angry, light, that all falls under that category. So that means that this ayah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ, at the time in Arabia, they were using it to ask the Prophet about alcohol. It can also refer, if someone came and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, can you tell me, there's this thing called cannabis that I smoke with my friends. And we're still going to come to Jum'ah, we're going to come to Majalis, we're even going to beat our chest, we're going to serve food and all these other things people do related to Ahlul Bayt. But you can't understand. the end of the night. I need this. And then when I wake up in the morning, I need it. And you know what, Ya Rasulallah? It just calms me down. I do get angry quickly, but it calms me down as well. But I can really get angry, but it calms me. And I am energetic sometimes, but it does make me get lazy, but I'm not always lazy. Not always lazy. But I can really become lazy. Where I just could sit back with my friend and we could just spend the day doing it, not motivated to do anything. Because Ya Rasulullah, you know, there's a world now of dopamines, and you know, like, even though the Prophet would be looking at it, what do you mean dopamine? Yeah, they're decreased, but I don't mean that I'm that lazy. I'm not that unmotivated. Khamr, in the time of the Prophet, was alcohol. When today someone says to me that you can't find me an ayah in the Quran that doesn't allow me to smoke weed or marijuana or the cannabis family, I say, but there is an ayah that says, they ask you concerning that which intoxicates or covers. What is it that this thing's doing? Now, there is a question here, an interesting question. And that interesting question is, does this fall under that which can be called intoxicant? From the musakkirat, for example. Something musakkir. Can you say that taking drugs intoxicates you? I think if you ask people why they're doing it, they do want that feeling of being in a different zone. Why does a person drink alcohol? Because they're addicted to the taste sometimes. Or because also it takes all the bad memories away for a small period. I don't want to remember, for example, work, having to earn a living, marriage issues, possible sexual abuse as a child. So I need things that ward that off. And so what we find is that they ask him in Surah 2, verse 219. They ask him, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. And what does the Holy Prophet reply? He replies with something very interesting. He gives us the rationale behind why there's a problem. He says, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Now, الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. What's Maysir? What's Maysir? Maysir is another word for gambling. Something which has yusr is something which is easy. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Verily, with hardship, there will come ease. Why is maysir related to gambling? Someone says, I know the word qamar, but why is maysir? Maysir because the ease of which you acquire money without having to work. Yeah, 10 to 1, I put 20 quid on it. So something easy to get money. No risk involved. Problematic business-wise. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. These things like this cannabis, marijuana, it can have benefits. Alcohol can have benefits. It can have what else? But it has also disadvantages. You gain more sins doing them than the advantages of them. So if someone shows me the benefits of alcohol and drugs, can you say that their benefits outweigh the disadvantages? If we were to write the number of benefits of alcohol and the number of disadvantages of alcohol, what would we have? More benefits or more disadvantages? What would you say? Disadvantages. The Quran says exactly that. So when someone asks you, why is it haram? Look what the Quran says. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. But their sin is greater than their benefit. I can see that something like marijuana, people say to me, there's medical marijuana. Yep. They say that there's medical marijuana. And medical marijuana might be something which is good for example, anti-seizures, helping me with seizures, helping me with pain relief. Because I know that even medical marijuana, you may have that which has THC and that which has CBD. And CBD, because it doesn't intoxicate, maybe that which is If you've got no other resort, of course. And it's prescribed by a doctor, not by a guy with a surfboard in LA. Because if there's a guy at the beach with a surfboard in LA and tells me, I'll prescribe for you some weed, bro. That's not my doctor. So I see THC and I see CBD, and THC may be problematic, although people may be discussing what if it's low levels. And CBD, I may see that there's oils that are made and my mother has a particular pain. So medically, these things will help. But can you say to me that the world of drugs, the most benefits are here, or there are many disadvantages in drugs? When you see those who've gone on to heroin, what has it done to their life? You see those in the world of the, you know, you say to me cocoa, a plant, you know, originally these plants and all of these are okay. Okay, Baba, the plants and herbs are not haram. What you did with them, you either went towards haram or you went towards halal. And so a person out there says, are you saying that in Islam, everything in the world of alcohol or drugs is haram? No. There are some people who may still use alcohol, for example, when it comes to areas such as medicine. True. There might be some who use alcohol for perfumes. There may be some who use alcohol for cooking products. But as long as it's not that which is intoxicant. Someone says, this alcohol product I want to use for cooking. You could say to the guy, do you drink it? Can you drink it? He goes, bro, what are you talking about? If I drink it, I'm going to, you know, it's not. You say, okay, that might be. But that which you're able to use for alcohol intoxicant. That's why we can't put white wine and red wine and all of these on our food. So what we have over here, therefore, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير منافع للناس إثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. The Quran gave you a rationale. It didn't just say to you haram. It said draw a list. Benefits of drugs, CBD, oil, CBD, good for the pain relief, CBD, good for anti-seizure, CBD, CBD, CBD. But then cocaine, heroin, and then all of these others. And then you look at what drugs has done to people. And then you look at alcohol, benefits. But then when you look at the disadvantages, that's what the Quran wants to show. Go to any human being in the world and say to them, is there more advantages or disadvantages of alcohol being in society? How many punch-ups because of alcohol? How many sexual abuse cases because of alcohol? How many people killed because of drink drivers? How many do you find who cause violence because of alcohol where they've beaten ladies black and blue? That was the second verse. So the first time, don't approach Salah while you're intoxicated. Second one, they ask you. Third one, Surah 5, verse number 90. Go to Surah 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 90. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces us to another ayah of the Quran concerning intoxicants. What does the Quran say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who claim to have iman. Innamal khamru. Verily, khamr. We said in that context, probably alcohol today. We can still look at this as intoxicants. Wal maysiru. And what? Games of chance, gambling. Wal ansabu. Wal azlam. What's ansab and azlam? Ansab and azlam. One of them is when you sacrifice, for example, animals. And you take the blood and you put it around an idol. You get stones and you put it near the idol. Another one is you get meat and you draw lots. Like you bet who's going to win the meat. And those who win it distribute to the poor. And those who lose have to pay for it. So the Arabs used to do these things. You know, wager. Let's have a wager, guys, tonight. Who's going to win the boxing? Let's put five. Whoever wins, the rest have to pay for the pizzas that night. People would do these things in Arabia. Yes, alunaka. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان. It is what? Rijs, one of the abominations or one of the impurities of shaitan. If something is one of the impurities of shaitan, do you think it's haram? Probably. You know, as in like, when I hear Muslims saying, bro, there's no verse in the Quran that says it's haram. Bro, when something is one of the impurities of shaitan, that should be enough for you to realize, yeah, that could be quite wrong. Because Mr. Shaitan doesn't do things halfway. But you know what I love about these verses? Is they show you what alcohol does. Quran says, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Stay away from it and you will be successful. That Liverpool midfielder is not that fit at 35 and strong where other players retire earlier. Unless he has learned to look after himself, look after his health. You'll be successful if you stay with him. How many great Hollywood actors and actresses alcohol finished them? I bet you can think of a couple. Alcohol rehab, alcohol addict, alcohol rehab. Yeah, I only remember two who committed suicide. One of them, I forgot his name, but another, Robin Williams. Robin Williams, one of the best actors you'll ever come across. Unreal. What alcohol did to him? Who was the other one? I forgot his name. Looked a bit like Boris Johnson. He has like a big blonde, like, you know, strong blonde hair. He was a director of films as well. Anyway, so these guys as well, there was a film, I think, Scent of a Woman. Al Pacino was blind, and there was a student. Al Pacino's blind general looked after him. Anyway, these examples are not for Muslims. Muslims don't watch films. Anyway, so what we have here is that the Quran says to us that, O you who believe, these are the impurities of who? The impurities of Shaytan. And what you have, therefore, is in the next verse, verse number 91. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. What does Shaytan want to do with drugs and alcohol? He wants to cause enmity and hatred between you. How many drug cartels can you name in the world who just killed each other non-stop? Non-stop. Yeah, I feel sorry. There are people in South America. Wallah, these people, lovers of God, lovers of Jesus Christ. How many families killed each other? How many killed each other in New York? How many killed each other in Italy? How many killed each other in other parts of the world that we don't even know of? Not the ones we see in documentaries and so on. Quran said it. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ الشَّيْطَانُ wants to أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Shaytan wants intoxicants to bring animosity and enmity between you. Do you agree that intoxicants, drugs and alcohol, bring the biggest punch-ups and killing between people? Whether it's one-on-one on a Friday night, or whether it's generally, it says al-khamr and maysir, because another thing that brings severe enmity between people is gambling. You see, you've either got the drug dealers, and if you haven't paid him, what's he doing? He's come to your house. Psh, done. You agree? It's a world that you don't want to mess with. But that drug dealer probably one day was a good guy, and then wrong crowd. And I guarantee you, those guys before him, good guy, wrong crowd. Sometimes don't blame God. You look at your crowd. I could see crowds here. They sit to learn the Quran. I could see others. No. Bro, where are we going to blaze tonight? That's a simple line they say to each other. And these guys claim to be lovers of Ahlul Bayt, by the way. That's the worst thing. How would you face your imam and tell him this is what I do? How? 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 But the beauty about Shahr Ramadan is the month of Tawbah. A person says, that's it. Never again. Shaytan, you will not affect me, because you come home having had drugs, swear at your mom, curse your dad, fight your siblings. What have they done wrong to you? What have they done wrong? Just because you become a crackhead, you come home and you do that to your family? What have they done wrong? And so the Quran said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَيُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدُّ. And what does he do? وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah. This is amazing. And he keeps you away from remembering Allah and Salah. You could see someone sit. Four, five, 6 hours. Ya Maghrib Isha, ya Dhuhr Asr. Days, months. Says that Shaytan's aim with intoxicants is to keep you away from remembering Allah and to keep you away especially from Salah. There is nothing. There are people I know who stay up the whole night because of drugs. No sleep. Don't even eat. You expect them to do ruku'? You think getting up for salah is your own doing? Sometimes tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But somebody who's in that world, Allah has shown us in the Quran 1,400 years before we met Colombia and Italy and Mexico, and before we heard about everything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us over 1,000 years ago. Shaytan, what does he want to do? He wants to make sure that he brings between you adawa and baghdha. Enmity as well as what? As well as hatred. West side, east side. This group, that group. This clique, that clique. That gang, that gang. Why? Why? God honored you as his representative on earth. You could have become higher than the angels. You're now lower than an animal. Even an animal doesn't do what alcohol does. What alcohol makes humans do, even animals have not done. And so therefore, in the Quran, when God told us all of this, he was trying to highlight to us that there are these situations which are going to occur in your own communities. In our own communities today in the Muslim world, would you agree with me that we face a major problem with drugs and alcohol? Where people who were the last you'd expect would be the ones who'd fall into it. And that's why if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show us that things which are going to bring you to being finished or even suicide, stay away from them. If you look in Surah 4 of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, Surah 4, verse number 29 of the Holy Quran, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a line, and you ask yourself whether alcohol and drugs do this to you or no. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. The Quran says, don't kill yourself. I ask you, do you know people who've committed suicide either because of drugs or alcohol? It's a shame. And the Quran says it's haram. You cannot kill yourself. Then I remember, if I'm not mistaken, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 195, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another ayah of the Quran, which in reference to this, there are those who kill themselves. And then there are those where Allah says, and don't with your own hands destroy yourself. With your own hands. With your own hands, metaphorically and literally. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Sometimes your own hand you use to destroy yourself. Sometimes you punch someone on a fight, alcohol. Sometimes I use this, drugs. Sometimes I slapped someone because I'm drunk. Sometimes I sniffed something, drugs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, don't use your own hands to destroy yourself. يَوْمَ تُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. There's a day when your hands are going to speak. You're going to have to be able to answer why they did what they did. And hence you find in Surah 7, verse number 33 of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that if we agree that alcohol is this huge sin, then people say, yeah, but where does Allah say in the Quran that's haram? Surah 7, verse 33. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ. What has my Lord prohibited? الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغِي. Allah has prohibited the shameful deeds, public, concealed, and the ithm. What did the other ayah of the Quran say about alcohol? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَلَى الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ. So you know when someone says to you, bro, in the Quran it doesn't say alcohol is haram. You say, why? It says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَلَى الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Say, okay, did Allah say that it's an ith? Yes. In Surah 7, verse 33, Allah says, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ. Haram. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ. So therefore, if alcohol in Surah 2, verse 219, here Allah says the ith is haram. Someone asked me, Sayyidina, okay, in dunya, no alcohol. Sayyidina, I get it, no problem. Can we have white wine, at least in Jannah? Would any of you like a drink in Jannah? Yeah, At least you're truthful. That's probably because you're fasting, you're thirsty anyway, and you're just like, I need any drink at the moment. But the question has to be asked, would we want a drink in Jannah? Now, white wine is in the Quran. We'll get it in Jannah, white wine. Someone's like, hold on a minute. You're telling me that I'm going to have white wine in Jannah? You can have white wine in Jannah. Listen, we best have everything halal in Jannah first, because we haven't stayed here. You see Muslims broken, you have haram. When I get to Jannah, I want everything halal. But then people are like, but bro, in heaven, we're really going to be able to have a drink? Yes, we are. And then someone once asked me, are we going to be like intoxicated? I'm like, bro, why would you want to be intoxicated? You want to at least remember what's going on. I'm surprised when someone said, bro, I had such a great night. It was unbelievable. I'm like, was it that good? Yeah, bro. I said, so what happened? He's like, I can't remember. So how was it great? Of course, shaitan knows how to cover everything for you. But in the Quran, people always ask about the fact that, you know, is there like a heaven with streams of alcohol where I can like literally go Jack Daniels, Budweiser, Bacardi Breezer, and then I'm drinking. And it's interesting that all you guys, when I mention names of drinks, all know it. But when I mention verse of Quran, none of you can reply back to me. Now, if you look at the Quran, Surah 37 of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, Surah 37 of the Quran, verse number 37, what is it, 45? Probably 37, 45, I would imagine. Where are we? Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, Rashid, you're here, and you're our resident Quran reciter with a lovely voice. So please recite for me Surah Al-Safat, Surah 37 of the Quran. Okay, which page is it, said Mahsin? Okay, classic Shia, still looking for the page. Now, Surah 37 of the Quran, Surah Al-Safat, have we reached there? My dear brothers and sisters at home, please excuse us for this delay in finding the verse of the Quran. This is very natural in terms of our madhab. Now, Surah 37, who's found it? Wallah, you guys are something else. You've completely destroyed what I wanted to do. Surah 37, verse 45 of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim yutafu alayhim bika'sim min ma'in. They will go round with a cup from a clear spring. بيضاء لذة للشاربين. White, delicious unto those who drink. لا فيها غول ولا هم عنها ينزفون. It doesn't cause you a hangover, nor does it cause you to be exhausted. You know the difference with the wine we get in Jannah when it says rivers of wine? Two main things of what alcohol does to you in dunya, the Quran says that won't do to you. Look at the ayah. La fiha ghawlun. What is ghawl? Ghawl is like, you know, when your senses are gone. So you got like, you just can't focus, or the evil spirits have overtaken you. As some people say, oh, sometimes, subhanAllah, people drink it. And you're like, what is that, bro? It goes, spirit. So Baba, until you tell me, how do I ward off spirits of evil? And now you're drinking something called spirit. Ghoul. Hey, I wonder if that's got anything to do with, you know, sometimes you have goblins. And what was the other thing with goblins? What's it called? Is it called ghoul? Ghouls. Subhanallah. Ghouls. So is that type of things you'd see in like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter? Yeah. And for some reason, sometimes I've seen them outside churches. Why do churches look so haunted in the night? Is that just something's like sitting out like that? Anyway. Quran says, لا فيها غول ولا هم عنها ينزفون. So غول is hangover state. ولا هم عنها ينزفون. Nor will they be exhausted. Because what's the second worst thing about a hangover? What do you always feel the second worst thing about a hangover? Said Master, sorry, I'm just asking you for you just to say you feel exhausted. Yeah, I know that you haven't drunk. Surah 56 of the Quran, verse number 19, my dear brothers and sisters. When the Quran says in Surah 56, Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Now, can you get to Waqi'ah, Rashid? Please get to Waqi'ah, for the love of God. You get to Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And, you know, his father is so good at the Quran. Surah 56, Al-Waqi'ah, verse number 19. Who's got to Waqi'ah? Okay, Muslim community of East London are represented today, and I'm still not sure about their closeness to the Quran. Surah 56, verse number 17, 18, 19. Are you there? Verse 17, Yatufu. Recite for us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yatufu. Okay, now do that in your lovely voice. So please, we want to hear in your lovely voice. I want a classic tajweed, old school.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Now we finally got there. Verse 17 said that there'll be youths who are going around serving us. So at least we're coaching in Jannah. Relax, there's people coming and they're serving us. No need to work hard. Then it says we've got all these goblets and so on, cups for us to drink. Then it says لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون. صداع. You know, like when someone has a migraine. لا يصدعون. If in Arabic, if you want to do a nice formality with someone where you've troubled them coming around their house, or you've asked them for a favor and you've troubled them, you look at them and you say تصدعتم. تصدعتم means I've given you a headache with what I've done. Of course, when every Iraqi says it, they don't mean it at all, but you just still say it. تصدعتم. Here the Quran says what? The Quran says لا يصدعون عنها. They won't have the drink that you're going to have in Jannah. What's going to happen with it? The drink we're going to have in Jannah, we will not have aches from it, nor will we lose our senses and feel hungover and be exhausted. So yes, there's going to be nice drinks, but maybe grape and apple over there was used in the right way and not necessarily used to destroy society for the sake of a bit of money. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us and our children guided and on the right path and away from the difficulties that intoxicants can eventually lead to the destruction of society. Ya Allah, protect us all in this holy month of Ramadan. I'll see you all tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hey.